The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Yeah, I'm back again, and kind of going over some of this stuff. If you'd like to give me a call and ask some questions, you know, I'd be glad to try to answer them if I can. And I don't claim to know everything, but after 60 years of fishing in here, it's kind of, you know, quite a bit of what I do works pretty good. But, you know, talking about these, how to catch these redfish a lot of times up in these creeks and all, I mean, one of the things that I used to do out here quite a bit, if you notice, mirror lures kind of have a lure that works pretty good. And if you notice something on them, they usually, all your mirror lures have a red gill plate on them. And, you know, they'll either have red eyes or that, and especially that red gill plate. But a little known fact that I used to carry quite a bit was a permanent red marker in my tackle box. And I would take that red marker. If you have like a white plastic grub or a light color plastic grub, or, you know, the dark ones doesn't work as good when you try to put this on. But I try to put a couple of red gill plates on it with that permanent marker. Of course, you want it to dry in the sun pretty good before you throw it back out there in the water. But the red gill, when you make those red marks on it, and I used to draw two of them on there all the time on each side, but drawing red gill plates on your plastics like that, even with your curl tail grubs and all, but if you ever notice the mirror lures plug, they're really bright red. And flared gills mean several things, you know, for fish. Whenever they see that red color, when fish flare their gills, they could either be exerting a burst of energy, like chasing something or whatever, when they're gulping in small baits, things like that, either feeding or when they're dying. If you ever noticed, if you ever, you know, kind of look in your live well, you see a mud minnow or a mullet. The mullet have redder gills than the mud minnows do. But if you see a mullet sitting there kind of taking the last few breaths, if you study them, you'll see that they'll kind of flare out their gills like they're gulping. And that's what they're doing, trying to gulp air. And when they do that, they'll have the big gulps, which flares their gills quite a bit. Well, that lets that red color shine in there. And when they gulp again, the fish knows what's happening to the bait fish when they see that. They know. They're opportunistic feeders. They know that they're restricted somehow. They're either wounded, hurt, can't get away, whatever. Believe me, the redfish know what a last breath looks like in their meals. They know. That's how they feed a lot when they're, you know, when they're eating live baits, is they'll get the weakest one of the group, because whenever the stronger ones scatter and the weak ones sitting there, that's what makes that fish, you know, go after that one, that weakest one. So that's a good thing to go after. I mean, that's a good thing to do on your plastics if you ever get a chance to do that. Get your red magic marker, draw your two gill plates on each side of it, and let it dry in the sun real good and see how that works. To me, that's just one of the neatest things on redfish like that. You know, they'll go after stuff that's just so a redfish will go after anything, put it that way. But whenever they get an opportunity to go after a certain fish like that, they're going to go after it more. Let's get Bill on. Morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing, sir?
Well, pretty darn good. I picked up my boat yesterday. And
oh, good.
It's funny, because when they called me, I got in the truck and it started to freaking pour. by the time I got down there, it was worse. So I'm running around in the rain, hooking up some other poor sap was helping me that worked there.
Yeah.
And when I got home, it quit. So, but
that's about right.
Yeah. It's been 2 weeks since I fished. I just sent a guy who's been begging me to take him fishing. He only gets Fridays off, works at Publix. I said, how fast can you get ready to fish? And then I put ... now, and then I text him again, get up, and I haven't heard a word from him, so I'm going to do work around the house today.
Okay. You say you can only do it on Fridays. It's a good thing you didn't get out there yesterday.
Well, yeah.
When that storm first came, wasn't bad. No, it wasn't bad in the morning, but when that front came through, I think it blew every leaf off the trees around my house. All the leaves that were turning colors.
Yeah.
It must have blew 30, 40 miles an hour there for about, 45 minutes to an hour.
That's always a good time.
Yeah. And then when the rain came, it just started. You know, it sprinkled for about 20, 30 minutes while the wind was blowing. But, you know, right after that, it just poured down.
Yeah, I don't mind a light shower.
Until
the perfect time to call me. But I'm sitting there. I'm actually running my hands over it. You know, gave it a couple pats this morning already.
Kind of go out there and touch it a little bit, huh?
Little bit. There's no dew today. I'm thinking, damn it, it's Saturday. I hate to fish, but man, I want to go.
Yeah, well, it's small craft advisory this morning, but I think it's supposed to be 15 to 20 knots today. But tomorrow's going to be a lot better too. You know, they're showing Monday and Tuesday. Yeah, they're showing northeast 5 to 10, then Monday east winds around 5 knots. Tuesday west winds 5 to 10. Wednesday is supposed to pick back up again. It's supposed to be 15 to 20 knots on Wednesday.
Yeah, I saw rain predicted on Wednesday, but it's still Wednesday. That's too far away to worry about. But I'm going to go Monday and Tuesday, I think, and get back at it.
Yeah, but you hadn't been out there, so you hadn't been able to. But I've had two or three friends of mine telling me about the topwater still. They're saying that there's still quite a few trout and some nice reds on topwater. Most of the trout they're catching are still small, like you were telling me. But they're getting some keepers here and there, and that's good, you know.
I caught 30 the last time I went out, and three of them were legal, and one of them was about 18, so it was pretty nice. But that was, of course, the one that I filleted half and wasn't paying attention and threw the rest of it to the pelicans.
Oh, yeah. forgot the other side.
Yeah, I'm starting to skin them. I got three fillets. You know, I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, man, that's bad. I was out there one day. Let me tell you, I was out there fixing to put the boat on the trailer one day, and there was this guy up there cleaning redfish, and he had had a cooler up there, and the cooler was about 15 foot from where he was standing there, and there was some pelicans. Yeah, there was some pelicans down in the water, and I noticed one was sitting up there by the sitting up on the railing up there. Excuse me. So anyway, I'm taking my boat and pulling it around, and I already backed my truck down. I was in the boat, and I untied it from the dock and was pulling it around. And this guy set his knife down, turned around, and went to the cooler. And as soon as he did, that pelican come up and grabbed one of those fillets, and I hollered at him, and he went over there and tried to chase him off, you know, real quick. But the pelican just picked it up and took off. And, boy, he was raising Cain. He was like, it's the only fish I caught, and I only got half of him. And I was like, yeah, you don't turn your back on those pelicans.
No, they fight for everything. I mean, you know, you throw a skin in there, and they're on it for you.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting over it.
Yeah. I thought that was so funny. I mean, I know it wasn't funny to him. He was pretty aggravated. But anyway, I know that was very hurtful to have a bird take half his fish, you know. And I already had it cleaned for him, too, you know.
Hey, I'm looking to get some instructions from you today.
Okay. Do you want to hold on and we'll talk some more when I come back?
All right.
Or you want to just tell me what?
Well, I'd like you to go from low tide to high tide and tell me, what do you do when you know it's going to be low tide? What's your preference? And in the perfect world at mid tide, what do you do? And go through the whole tide range.
Okay.
For me, and I think that'd be helpful because I go fishing no matter what.
Yeah, well, and you can catch fish no matter what tide, you know.
Oh, I do.
So, yeah, you know. Yeah. So either one. I'll put you on hold for a minute in case you have another question while I go over some of it.
All right.
Okay. I'll be back.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Hey, Boulder. Are you tired of trying to find the time off work to take your boat to shop, only to find you need to take more time off to pick it up afterward? Are you letting your maintenance go because you just can't be without your boat? If either sound familiar, then give Captain Mike a call at 904-614-3423, and he'll come to your place to do the maintenance for you. No leaving work and no being without your boat. 100-hour maintenance. Trailer lights, bilge, and live well pumps are all kept in good order. Keep your boat in top shape. Call Captain Mike at 904-614-3423.
Safe Harbor Seafood. Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And I'm back this morning. We've got Bill still on the line here. And, Bill, of course, my favorite redfish fishing time is, a couple hours before low tide, throughout low tide, and then a couple hours of the incoming tide. But, of course, you don't always get to do that. So a lot of times, like when I'm at the jetties and I come back up into the creeks or something, the tide's already been low and coming in. I just target different areas and different ways of fishing for them. But are you talking about what do I do for all fish or just like for redfish or what?
Yeah, just based on the tide. I don't care about any particular fish. I mean, I like to find the fish that I'm trying to find.
Yeah.
You know, I've got blennies down. I'm doing pretty good at trout. I catch some redfish. I seem to suck at flounders, but supposedly everybody does this year. So
yeah, this year wasn't a great year for the flounder as far as I saw.
Yeah, I had one good day. That was it. And I only caught four, so I guess it wasn't even a good day.
Yeah, well, that's a good day for this year, I'm telling you. I mean, there is people that caught a lot of them at times, and there's people that have caught big ones, you know. Being able to concentrate, just sit there and concentrate on one species of fish all day, you know, is a real plus in helping, you know. That's why when people are, you know, when they only trout fish, I mean, they wind up catching some really nice trout because that's all they're looking for is, you know, different, you know, areas and stuff and different depths and things like that. Myself, right. Like I say, you know, I like to shoot for the redfish at the lower tide. When the tide starts coming in, there's places in the river now that I like to throw. And I say the river, I'm talking about the St. John's or Nassau. I like Nassau. I like the intercoastal in some places. Fort George Inlet. On that incoming tide too. But my favorite trout time is the higher tide. So what I'm generally doing is trying to like look for these reds. When that tide comes in and starts getting like 2 or 3 inches above the base of the grass, you know, when it's getting that high,
right.
Just when the base of the grass starts getting covered up, I like to throw right up against that grass. And as it's coming in more, I'll throw either mud minnow or a crab, you know, a quarter crab, right up in the grass, you know, especially the sparse grass. I like to throw it right up in there because they will go up and nose up in there looking for different, you know, baits and stuff that are trying to hide in that grass, because as the tide comes in, of course, your bait's going to try to get up in there as far as it can.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me. I do like throwing topwaters. I love throwing topwaters. I just don't get to do it very often.
Yeah.
I like to do that when the water gets above the oyster beds, like 4 to 5, 6 inches, just enough to where when you throw it across it and you're working it, you don't get caught on the oyster bed. And, you know, you'll see a lot of times whenever that bait gets, you know, natural bait gets around the top of the oysters, you'll see little ringlets of shrimp or,
yep.
You know, right. Or even mullet, whenever the mullet's in, they'll try to get right up there, you know, that area. You know, so that they can kind of, I guess, get protected in that shallow water just above the oyster bed. And, you know, throwing a top water across there and then bringing it over, you could either, you know, catch a fish before it gets to the oyster bed or after it passes over the oyster bed. And that's why I like throwing the top waters, you know, once that water gets up. I mean, you know, there's a lot of times we've caught redfish top waters at low tide. You know, on mud flats and things like that. But my favorite
on
time.
Banks, were you looking at drop offs?
Yeah. Mud banks. And then whenever you got a little drop off there at a mud bank. And, but my favorite time for top waters for reds and, you know, because you can also catch some real nice trout too, is at the higher tides, you know, when the oyster beds are covered up. Because that's when your trout get up in there quite a bit, you know, also. You don't have too many trout around, and unless you got a deep spot in the creek, you don't have too many trout around in the creeks at low tide. And, you know, it's a lot, you get a lot more action when you get that higher tide up in the creeks for that, because not only do you, like I said, not only do you catch reds, but you catch, you know, trout also. And, of course, summertime, you're going to catch jacks and ladyfish, things like that too, but, you know, this time of the year, you generally don't have any jacks, any ladyfish. You might have a couple bluefish still around and maybe one ladyfish here and there, but, you know, it's not like, summertime. But, I love to throw, you know, the top waters like that last hour and a half of the incoming high tide and the first hour or so of the outgoing. And when the oyster beds, when I feel like that water's getting about 4 inches about, you know, from being, the oyster bed showing, that's when I kind of stop throwing the top waters in the creeks, because you know, when you throw it out there, if you've only got a couple of inches of water over the oyster bed and that lure lands, it's going to get hung up.
I don't know that there's anything wrong with it, but I've been pulling right up to the grass and throwing top water as far as I can down the edge of the grass so I get all that exposure. And, you know, sometimes I'll anchor offshore and throw toward shore, but I've been lately with the top water, especially pulling right into the grass, uh-huh. You know, 6, 8, 10 feet away from the shore and throwing the sides of sideways.
Well, you're in the zone a lot further, a lot longer that way, because if you ever noticed, I mean, the mullet's not going to swim from the grass to the middle of the creek. They just don't.
Right.
They just don't normally do that. They swim down
the shore.
Yeah, they swim down the shore, down the bank, you know, down the shoreline. And, you know, having that lure when you throw it up there like that and, you know, using the top waters, that's what these fish are hitting. You know, some of them's hitting, some shrimp at times, but, you know, your little grass shrimp usually staying in the grass. So they're not really, you know, they're not really feeding on those as much. You know, when you're using top water, they're looking for that mullet that's swimming down the bank because that's what your top water is kind of, you know, imitating coming down mm-hmm. through there. You know, you don't have mud minnows swimming down the surface of the water either, see? So, you know, you watch those mullet, and that's where a lot of times if you see quite a bit of bait in the area, that's a good place to stop and do it, you know?
I typically use 3 rods every time I stop.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes I use a popping cork and a topwater and a jig.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah, and a popping cork works great. You know, up in the creeks like that, especially when you're throwing it up and you're coming, you know, when you're fishing by yourself like you're doing, I mean, you're able to do that. If I've got 2 or 3 people, I can't get them to kind of throw down the grass. If I've got two,
right.
I can do it. I can pull over there, let one throw out the front of the boat, one throw out the back of the boat, and you mm-hmm. can, and you can do it that way. But actually when you have, you know, more people than that, then you've got to be out from the bank. You got to throw toward the bank, and we catch fish that way too. You know, but, you know, you're in the zone longer if you throw that lure up and work it straight down the edge of that bank. You're just in that zone so much longer because those fish are not going to be, a lot of times, not going to be out, you know, in the middle of the creek, of course. They're going to be up and down that
right.
edge, up and down, you know, around the oyster beds. They're going to sit down, especially if you have big drop-off oyster beds where, you know, where it's like 3 foot deep next to one. You know, they're going to be hanging around those so that they see bait coming across the top of that. They can attack them there. Good ambush point, you know.
There's some places that, you know, a lot of the curves on, they're deep. I know curves that are 15, 18 feet deep in the creeks.
Right.
Do you ever troll them, and how would you do that?
Yeah.
It seems mm-hmm. like I saw a guy doing it once. I would guess you'd go with the tide and.
Yeah. You're
the same I don't see
direction.
A lot of people doing it.
If you go against the tide, it generally brings, if you're trolling like plastics on jig heads, what it does is it generally brings that plastic too high in the surface. You have to use a heavier
right.
jig head to get it down. So if you troll with
yeah,
the current.
Yeah, I was thinking bombers, you know, something
yeah.
bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've trolled bombers. I've trolled them up and down Simpsons Creek a lot and the intercoastal. You can troll bombers as long as you're not going too fast. You just want to, you know, idle along there with a gas motor. Now, you're talking about with a gas motor, not your trolling motor, right?
No, actually, I was thinking trolling motor, but I don't care.
You can
obviously.
Do it with you can do it with
more.
A trolling motor. You know, you can, and these trolling motors we have nowadays, you know, you set up the cruise control to go straight down a bank, you know, if you wanted to, and then if the bank turns,
yeah.
you just hit the button, you know, whether
yeah.
it turns to the right or left, you know, just to stay out a little bit away from it. The thing about
well,
trolling,
I follow the bank. You know, I
yeah.
can set the track up and follow the bank. It's not a
right.
problem. Then I can just. I've never seen anybody do. I've seen one guy trolling.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't do that anymore, and I don't know why. I've trolled the intercoastal waterways, up and down the intercoastal waterways, and I've used a second jig on the same line. I don't know if you've ever done that, a trailer.
No.
About 18 inches apart. You just tie another jig head on and another plastic, and believe it or not, a lot of times, you know, you'll catch them. I don't know what it is, but you'll catch them on that first plastic that you're trolling, not the second one that's tied on. And then sometimes you'll get 2 at a time on there.
Hmm.
As long as you got them about 18 inches apart or so, you know, they're doing good. I mean, you just want to throw them out there and let them troll. You know, you got to watch it when you throw it out there so it doesn't tangle up as it hits, you know.
Sure.
But you could do that and go up and down the intercoastal. And, you know, up and down the intercoastal, you don't have near as many oyster beds and stuff like that. So, you know, you're not going right up and down the edge of the grass anyway like that when you're trolling.
No. You know? I hardly ever fish in the intercoastal.
Yeah. Well, you can do it, especially during the week.
Music, I better let you go.
All right. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it. I hope maybe I answered your question or two.
Yeah, you did. Thank you much.
Bye-bye. All right. I'll talk to you soon. And, Rob, if you can hold on, I'll get you on as soon as I get back on here.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Police are responding to a shooting early today with multiple victims at a bowling alley in Torrance, California. Police say at least three people are dead after there were reports of shot fired at the Gable House Bowl. A number of other people were injured. The deadlock over President Trump's demand for border wall funding will once again take center stage as White House officials and congressional staffers continue negotiations today. They're hoping to end the government shutdown. Democrats emerged from Friday's meeting reporting little, if any, progress. The president declared that he would be willing to keep the shutdown going. No move toward compromise from the Democrats on funding the president's border wall. A big win yesterday for investors on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 747 points at 23,433. The NASDAQ picked up 275 points. This is SRN News.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, January 11th at 8 p.m., it's the Pink Floyd Laser Spectacular at the Florida Theater in downtown Jacksonville. Saturday, January 12th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. And Saturday, January 12th at 7 p.m., it's the Elvis Birthday Bash at the Florida Theater.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
WBOB is talk radio. There are a variety of ways to listen to WBOB. Streaming on the internet, on our mobile app, on 101.1 FM, and even on the AM dial. WBOB AM 600 is proud to broadcast all over the southeastern coast, from Georgia to Jacksonville to Orlando. No matter how or where you listen, WBOB is solid, reasoned talk radio.
Tune in to AM 600 every Saturday morning for the Captain Vic Tyson Still Just Fishing Show, sponsored by Frontline Insurance. Find out where those fish are, what they're biting, and how to get them in the boat. Get the latest fishing info on tides, weather, and new products, and much more from the Sultan of the St. John's, Captain Vic Tyson. Start your weekend right. Tune in to the Captain Vic Tyson Still Just Fishing Show, Saturday mornings from 6 till 8, right here on AM 600 WBOB. Listen online or get the podcast at WBOB.com.
The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Still some good roads this morning, no delays, good driving, sunny skies for the weather. Continuing through Sunday with daytime highs today and tomorrow. About 65, clear tonight, and Sunday night, low about 45, but a little bit of fog Sunday night. Continuing through Monday morning, sunny skies on Monday with high 72. Currently 53 degrees right here at AM 600 WBOB.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And I'm back this morning. Got Rob on this morning. Morning, Rob.
Hey, good morning, Captain Vic. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, hey, very well. Still in port today, I'm afraid. But looking forward to heading out tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow's supposed to be a whole lot better day, so I think you'll have a better time tomorrow, really.
Oh, yes, excellent. I'm happy to hear that. Also giving you a ring about what's coming up in March. March 8th and 9th is our
yes, sir.
19th annual El Cheapo Sheep's Head Tournament.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got the pamphlet or the brochure, not brochure, poster right here in front of me.
Oh, thank you. So yes.
Yeah, we started talking about it last week again, and, you know, coming up like that, I mean, it's one of, you know, it's my favorite tournament, I tell you. I enjoy it. I mean, even though I can't win the thing, but, you know.
Me neither, because I keep running it.
But I see you got a 2019 Carolina Skiff, 18-footer, ready to go.
Yes.
And got a Suzuki 4-stroke, Magic Tilt trailer. And they got that valued over $20,000, and you're... I see your second place is a JV14 Carolina Skiff and Suzuki 4-stroke. And so that's great, man. I'm telling you. Junior Angler Division. And as always, y'all award prizes and all the way through 15th place. So that's great. Especially since that one year I got 16th place, I think it was.
Well, I think your daughter kind of outfished you one or two years.
Yeah. Here. About 2 years now. The only two times she's fished it, and you know, the first time she fished it, she never have caught a sheephead in her life. And then she wound up catching more than me and Captain Mike that day.
I was going to say, is she available? I may take her on my boat next year because I'm going to be semi-retired for the 20th annual 2 years from now.
There you go. Yeah, because
I may need to borrow that nice young lady.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I know she got first place ladies. In 2017, and then I think she had third place last year. I think it was second or third place. Yeah, yeah. So I mean, yeah, she's outfished me the 2 years she's been in it. She's outfished me again. So. But
well, I would sign her up on your boat. She's a real good one.
Yeah. But anyway, I see your entry fees are $100 per boat until February the 17th.
Yes, sir.
So then, what? How much does it go up then?
It's $120.
$120. Okay. So, all right. Still, $100 per boat. I mean, get out there and enter that thing because I tell you what, you can't beat the prizes for only a $100 entry fee. So the El Cheapo is still got its, you know, that's a good name for it because, you know, for that little bit of a entry fee, you could say, it's just so good. I see you got got the ladies division, got a kayak division, and, you know, of course, y'all are going to have a great raffle going on. You always do.
Yes. So thankful for so many of our sponsors. So if you get on our website, The El Cheapo Jacks, and take a look at all of our sponsors that help provide it, you'll see what a great community outreach this is that supports our tournament. So it's fantastic from everybody that does this, not just kind of the major sponsors, which I'm grateful. And the other thing about our major sponsors this year, I already have the boats. They're sitting over at Del Marine today.
Oh, wow. So, that's great.
I know. I'm hats off to Carolina Skiff and Suzuki and Magic Tilt for making that happen. So they're already the boats that you will see out there at the event will be the actual boats up for first and second place.
Good deal.
We also have a different fourth place prize this year, and that is going to be a trip to Belize.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Man. So we still have Craig Sutton. Love his place out there. He will be our third place major sponsor. And then we've got a trip to Belize is following that.
Wow. I mean, how long is that trip?
Let's see. I believe it is 4 week, and we will provide a little bit of money for airfare, not as much as third place.
Yeah.
And that's Captain Alan Stams, who's one of our club members, owns a hotel down there in Belize. And I believe it's in Palencia, Belize. So know a few folks that have been. They've got 16 miles worth of reef to get out there to the open ocean and fantastic bone fishing. So it's kind of wildly undiscovered down there in that particular country.
Yeah, it is. Man.
So we're excited to have them on board this year, as well as Craig Sutton and Fishing Nassara and as our third place sponsor. So nobody's ever been out there to go catch sailfish or roosterfish. That's a fabulous place to go as well.
Oh, I bet. I mean, I've seen pictures, you know, Captain Don Damon and Rebecca going over there and catching those fish is just amazing. You know, some of the some of the fish they catch over there is just unbelievable. It's something that'd probably be on my bucket list, but I'd have to win me a trip to do that.
Well, I would take your daughter's third place fish and put that one of those two slots.
Yeah, she'd be like, you know, so excited. That would be so great to have a fish big enough to do that.
Well, hopefully this year it will be in. I know last year seeing the fish wanted to stay offshore a little bit. They didn't kind of come on in the channel as I was hoping for. So this year with back a week, hopefully we'll get some good warm weather, so fiddler crabs are not going to be a particular problem, and the fish will be there.
Yeah, because I tell you, they last year was a weird year all around, but the sheephead were so up and down, and then it's like right before the tournament, it just seemed like they, like you said, a lot of them went offshore. I know people were catching them offshore, you know, pretty fair on decent weather like that, you know.
Well, I think last year we had that out-of-season hurricane hanging
right
up in the North Carolinas, and I think that just impacted and shut down the whole bite.
Yeah.
So.
But, you know,
fish,
I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I believe fish succumb to, you know, pressure from big storms like that, so they just hunker down and ride them out.
Yeah.
And then once the storm moved, they were like, oh, yes, it's on.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's so strange. Like I say, different bite went on last year throughout several species. But the sheephead kind of surprised me even, you know. I mean, I fished for them for years and years, but they even kind of surprised me the way they were biting. But, you know, each time we have a kind of an off year like that is usually the next couple of years is really banner years. And believe it or not, I mean, we're catching some up to 7 or 8 pounds right up against the rocks, which is, you know, not actually normal yet for this year, you know, and we're already doing it this year.
I hope it's good things to come.
I do
that
too.
Or in 19 years, people have learned how to catch these bigger fish.
That's it.
So
that's it. So how many years is this now for the tournament?
19.
Oh, wow.
19. We got started in 2000.
Man.
So it's hard to believe. I mean, my friend and I, we got it started on behalf of the offshore club, and I've kind of been with it since the beginning. And I'm like, dude, I'm now older and grayer. I've got a lot less hair than the first pitcher.
I know the feeling. But yeah, that's just amazing. I just didn't even realize it's been that long. Wow.
I know. Time slips by.
It sure does.
So, but it's all there. It's all good. So we're very excited about this year. So,
all right. Well, people can get on. It's we got here www.lchipojax.com. That's lchipojax.com. So get on there and go ahead and register. And like you say, you got up until the February the 17th. You can pay $100 per boat. It goes up after that. So go ahead and get out there and register because, you know, sheephead, you know, the thing about it is you could win it down by the Danes Point Bridge, the little jetties, you know, Wonderwood Bridge. I mean, you could – the thing about the El Chipo sheephead tournament is anybody could win that thing. I mean, it's amazing that, you know, you might be sitting there catching 12, 13-inch sheephead, and next thing you know, you've got 11-pounder. I mean, you know, it's not like getting in a school of rat reds or something. You know, you catch a small sheephead, and the next one's probably three times the size of it, and then the next one might be smaller again. You just never know a sheephead.
It's one of the things that I say. We all know where they're at. They're just a difficult fish to catch.
That's it.
All right, Captain Vic.
Well,
thanks
Rob,
so much.
All right. I sure appreciate you calling, Rob.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And so, anyway, when I come back, I'm going to talk about the black drum and about, you know, how I've been targeting them. I've been targeting them with blue crab and with dead shrimp. So, depending on where I'm at. So, we're going to talk about how to go out there and find them. So, anyway. Here there's a few down here at the mouth of Trout River still, but where I've been getting them mostly is at the jetties. So anyway, when I come back after this break, We'll kind of go over that a little bit. And if you got a question about him, give me a call. We'll be back.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And I'm back this morning. And we'll kind of talk about a black drum a little bit and catch some real nice black drum. At the jetties, I understand down there, there's a few of them still around the Trout River, mouth of Trout River. There's a edge of a channel down there and some hard bottom spots that are around between the red buoys that are like straight out from the middle of Trout River. And you can kind of get on your depth finder and look at it where it goes from like 24 feet down to about 44. I usually like to get on the edge of that. you know, where you can fish like down the slope of that rock bank where it goes down into the channel. And I'll get in about, you know, 30, 32 feet, something like that, and fish in there. But down there, I use dead shrimp, which is kind of a lot better on the dead shrimp like that than the crab down in that area. Now, what's so strange is I usually throw a bait out anyway that's a quarter of a crab down there, because for some reason those sheephead like to get in there on that rock bank too. I know it's way up the river, but we've caught some pretty nice sheephead. I'm talking anywhere from about 9 to 11 pounds in there. There's some good ones get in there. That tide I like down there is the last of the incoming, the turn of the tide, and the first, say, hour and a half of the outgoing before it starts getting too fast. Where I've been targeting them at the jetties, you can get on the inside of the north or the inside of the south, and either one, and you just get to where the rocks come down as they slope down when you're sitting there beside the rocks, and you see them slope down. They'll get down to where they flatten out to where the sand's at, and I'm talking about anywhere up and down the inside of the rocks there. One of my favorite places is just, I'll call it west of the Red Buoy. And also there's a favorite place in there just west of the Green Buoy also, on the south, inside the South Rocks. But anywhere in that area from there all the way, toward the tip, if you get along the edge of the rocks where, like say, you're probably about 30 feet out from the side of the rocks, 30 to 35 feet, you'll see the rocks on your depth finder kind of level out into that sand down there. I like to use quarter crab and dead shrimp. And the reason I'm saying that, using both of those on different poles, is sometimes you'll get in there and start catching the whiting on the dead shrimp. And then you'll knock off two of the drum we got the other day was on dead shrimp. But the rest of them were on a quarter of a crab. So putting that quarter of a crab down there, a lot of times those whiting will eat that crab up pretty fast. So you want to be sure to bring you plenty of crab out there to do that. And if you use a half on the small ones and a quarter on the bigger ones, but throwing it down there, get it right along the edge of the rocks, you're going to wind up catching toadfish and little sea bass and stuff like that also. But it's well worth, you know, going through those baits to get into those black drum. Right around that Red Buoy on the inside of the North Rocks, it's about halfway out the rocks. That whole area right up in there has been holding some nice ones. And you can get anywhere up in there. Just if you got another boat in the way, just go just west of him or go just east of him or whatever. Get in line with that and try to get in that area. We've also been catching some nice black drum on fiddler crabs while we're sheephead fishing with jig heads up along the edge of the rocks. And I always like to have my baits anywhere from about, I'd say, 6 to about 15, 16 feet deep. I don't usually throw it up less than 6 feet deep. I just don't think the sheephead are up in that shallow of an area up in those rocks. But I like to throw them out there when they're, you know, get that bait. Probably good average is 8 to 12, something like that. Sometimes they'll get in an area that's 16 foot deep. Whenever I'm fishing for those areas like that, like tomorrow when I'm out there, what I'll do is I'll move up and get up close to the rocks. I'll fish a little deep around, you know, 16, 17 foot deep, see if we get any bites. If we don't, I'll kind of move in just a little bit, like maybe about 12, 13 foot, try it right there. And it seems like once you get that area down to where you start getting bites, whether it's at 10 foot or 15 foot or 8 foot, that's where you start getting all your bites in that one particular area. So you want to find the distance that they're off those rocks each and every time you move to a different spot. You move to one spot, they may be, you know, 8 to 10 foot deep. You go to another spot, they may be 15, 16 foot deep. Move to another spot, they may be 10 foot deep. So, you know, you just want to kind of try to find them in that area. I notice a lot of people like to go up and down and troll up and down those rocks, you know, keep on the move. And you can locate them that way pretty good. Normally what I like to do is I like to anchor up or spot lock with a trolling motor in an area and stay right there in that one area, because to me, I think once you start getting bites, you know, the scent from those crabs going down those rocks chum up some more. And like I say, the black drum's been in there. They've been some pretty nice little black drum, anywhere from about 14 to 21 inches. So you can catch them that way. Most of the drum we've been catching down or along the edge of the rocks. If you catch them on a crab, it seems like they're about, 5 to 6, 7 pounds, sometimes 8 pounds. If you catch them on a dead shrimp, they seem to be about, 2 to 4 pounds. And I know that sounds weird, but that's just the way it works. I don't know why. The whiting all of a sudden got small in there and got smaller. But, once you get into that same areas like that, when you're in that sand along the edge, along the sides, inside of those jetties, sometimes you'll get into those whiting that are really nice size with. And, sometimes you'll catch a 5 gallon bucket full of them. And, they'll be real, real nice size ones. I love deep fried whiting and peanut oil. I mean, that to me, that's just, you can't hardly beat that. They're good, clean fish to eat. The sea bass so far that we've been catching out of the rocks have not been any keepers at all. Some of them are pretty close. Some of them around 12 inches, but you got to remember they got to be 13 inches. I expect the sea bass to probably around the end of February, March to pick up in size quite a bit. And, that's generally when we start catching them, like anywhere from, 12 to about 15 inches. So, right around the El Cheapo time is usually the same time we start catching some keeper sea bass. So that's kind of a good area of you can start looking for them in there. There again, the keeper sea bass, usually on a piece of cut crab, you get bigger sea bass than you do on the dead shrimp. But those black drum, when they get up and down in the river, I mean, sometimes they're around Dane's Point. I don't think they're around Dane's Point now. I talked to a friend of mine the other day. He didn't catch any the other day down there. But I would say if you're going to try way inshore, I'd try all the way up to the mouth of Trout River. Out at the jetties. What I like to do is I like to target them on that last of the incoming, first of the outgoing, or the last of the outgoing, first of the incoming. Either way, because that last of the outgoing, first of the incoming, you also have some slower tides, and that's when you want to do it. You want to be able to hit that slower current and through the turn when it's slack and before it gets fast again. That's the biggest thing. But there has been some really nice ones out there. If you can get out there and try to get them, I'll be back out there tomorrow too. I'll be probably fishing up and down the inside of the rocks, starting probably, east of the or west of the red buoy or around the green buoy, areas like that. But love those sheephead while they're in. So go out there and try to target those two. They're biting pretty good. Hopefully we didn't get enough rain to mess them up. And but we'll just have to get out there and try them. That's the only time. That's the only way you can find out. I appreciate the phone calls today, and I hope I've give you some good tips, some good information, and I'll be back next week. Thank you.